Luke chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 13, and this can be found on page 1045. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crop." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." This is the word of the Lord.
Words of power, strong to save. Words that will never pass away. That we will stand on every promise of your word. Father, we pray that as we come for those strong, powerful words that you speak here in the Bible, that you would help us indeed to take our stand upon them, to build our lives upon them, to your glory. Amen. Are you going to come and sit in front? I don't like people behind me, you know. Exactly, yes. Do turn to Luke's Gospel, that reading that Anne read. Luke chapter 12, 13 to 21, page 1045 there in the Bibles. This time of corona has had many lessons for us. It has been teaching us, if we have ears to hear, the vanity of so much of our lives. So easy, isn't it, to lose perspective in the midst of the madness of daily living. Most of us, our lives are so full of projects and people, of works and wish lists and homes and holidays and so on, such that we struggle to distinguish between the important and the urgent, losing ourselves in the midst of living. And then came lockdown, and so much of what we take for granted taken away. Maybe this crisis has been getting us to think about what really matters and what is just vanity, just froth. Perhaps the Premier League or the Super Bowl, perhaps that new kitchen or that Instagram post is not essential to who I am, my survival. Maybe it's been that sort of wake-up call for you. Well, in our passage from Luke's Gospel, we meet a man who tragically didn't learn that lesson until it was too late. Now, we're jumping into the middle of Luke's Gospel. It's actually where we left off a year ago. But if you're here for the first time, you've chosen a good morning because we are, as it were, right at the hot center of Christianity when we come to the Gospels. Yes, all the Bible is God's word to us. But I'm always excited when we return to the Gospels, because it's here that we come face to face with Jesus. God stepping into human history as nowhere else. In his opening chapters, Luke has given us a very clear portrait of Jesus. Jesus the rescuer, sent from God. Jesus the divine ruler, showing his kingly power, calling people into his kingdom. And then came a turning point at the end of chapter 9. From there all the way through to chapter 19, Jesus is teaching people the implications of what has been revealed. This is who Jesus is. Yes, he is the divine rescuer. He is the chosen ruler. Then what does that mean for you and for me? Well, that's where we are here in chapter 12. Someone in the crowd says to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Here's someone who's anxious to get hold of his share, what is due to him. It's a situation which happens today. Sorting out the inheritance is often a cause of tension, shall we say. Well, Jesus refuses to be drawn into the domestic dispute. But he does take the opportunity to warn the crowd, who are listening, that a person's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now, a quick click through any weekend colour supplement will tell you what our society thinks life consists of. If you take out the pages that are about food and fashion or homes and holidays, well, there wouldn't be much left. But Jesus says that that's not what life is really all about. There's more to life than what you have and what you wear, where you go, where you live. Corona was saying that to us, if we had ears to hear. And Jesus is saying it to us as well. But those things are very persuasive, aren't they? They do have an instant feel good to them. The thrill of something new, a new experience maybe, or some new acquisition that we make. It easily begins to take hold of our hearts. And pretty soon, that's what we're living for. So Jesus tells a parable to expose the foolishness of living for all that glitters. It's a story, isn't it, about a man who is very successful. His business is doing well. In fact, his business is booming. His investment portfolio is bulging. He's the envy of all his friends. And he says to himself, verse 19 there, "You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live for the now. Enjoy yourself while you can. Life's too short to worry about the future." He'd be very much at home on the streets of Wilmslow. Everyone admired his success and thought how well he was doing. But God's verdict is very different. "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself?" Everyone else was saying how clever, how sophisticated, how well he's done for himself. God says, "You fool." Let me suggest there are three big mistakes that lie behind that verdict. Number one, he lived as if this life is all there is. He lives only for the now and doesn't think about what might happen when he dies. And God says that's a foolish way to live. It's foolish to think only about the journey and not the destination. A while back, an airline advert went like this. Where do you need to be? How will you get there? Does it matter? Yes, the journey is the destination. The journey is the destination. It's not where you're going in life that matters. What really matters is whether you're travelling first or second class. Now, we know that's bonkers, don't we? You never take a train journey without checking where it's going. Unless you're a steam engine buff. And they're bonkers anyway, aren't they? Yet many have swallowed the lie that it's all about the journey. And God says, you fool. He's living as if this life is all there is. Tragically, people who invest all their time and energy and money only for this life. Parents who rush to put their kids into the best school, even before they're born, to give them, to make sure they'll do well in life. Yet neglect to teach them of God and eternity, where their future really lies. It's foolish, says Jesus. It's utterly short-sighted to live as if this life is all there is. It's wise to think ahead. A few months ago, I was cutting off a branch of the oak tree at the front of our garden. And it was right at the very limit of my ladder. In fact, the top of my ladder was only just caught on the bottom of the branch. Anyway, I made my way gingerly up this ladder. All was going well. I got to the top. I was just about to cut off the branch. And then I realized, without the weight of that branch, this bit would spring up and my ladder would be in thin air. It's wise to think ahead. It's foolish to live as if this life is all there is. Yet the baubles and trinkets of this world appear so attractive, we end up living for them. That's the first mistake that Mr. Successful made. The second mistake, he lived as if God wasn't there. We know next to nothing about this man. We don't know whether he was a good bloke or a bad bloke. We don't know whether he was a faithful husband or a philanderer. We don't know whether he was a loving dad or a bully of a dad. All that we do know is that he was not rich towards God. If you'd asked him if he believed in God, I'm sure he would have said yes. But he lived as if God wasn't there. You notice how he made his plans. Verse 18, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, it's all about me and mine. He doesn't give a second thought to what God might have to say. And Jesus says, you fool. Why? Well, because God is there. Now, I think most of us here this morning will be convinced of that. But just in case, well, here is Luke giving us that carefully investigated eyewitness account of that moment in time, that special moment when God steps into human history in the person of Jesus. Jesus repeatedly displaying the power and authority of God, because that's who he is. God is not hiding. Have you ever played hide and seek with a three-year-old? They're not very good at it. They can't stay hidden for very long. If a game goes on too long, they'll come and tell you where they're hiding. Well, God is like that three-year-old. He makes himself known in the person of Jesus. here in the pages of this book. But even if we know God is there, we're still capable of living as if he wasn't. Indeed, that's our natural condition, to live life as if it was mine to choose, to live in God's world and enjoy all that he gives, but without reference to the giver, to live as if God isn't there. And he says, what a fool you are to ignore me like that. As you may know, Abby and David were married here just a month ago. A few months beforehand, Dee Dee and I were fortunate enough to receive a very elaborate wedding invitation with all the details, the photographs, the ceremony, the wedding breakfast, the ceilidh and so on. But also in that invitation there was a little card which said, the elephant in the room, COVID-19. They recognised that there was a bigger reality than their plans. And it would have been foolish to ignore that, to carry on with all their plans and then find them being suddenly swept away. Well, it's foolish to ignore the greater reality that is God, the one to whom everything belongs, the one to whom we owe everything. And let me say, even where God has brought us to our senses, where he has turned us around to acknowledge Jesus as the rightful ruler of our lives, well, even then, it's possible for me to live as a functional atheist. When I stop praying, when I make my plans without considering what God wants, when I set my heart on other things, then I'm living as if he wasn't there. And Jesus says that's foolish behavior, a foolish way to live. There's another mistake that Mr. Successful was making. He was living as if there was no judgment day. He says to himself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Relax. Enjoy your life. Eat, drink, and be merry. But that very night, his life was demanded from him. And before he knows it, he's fresh out of time. He's plunged into eternity and completely unprepared. We're all so terrified of death in the Western world that we never get round to talking about it, or thinking about it, or thinking about judgment, because that's what happens after death. And if you can't think about death, then you certainly won't want to think about judgment. The Western world is terrified of death, so terrified that we won't even say the word. We've got all sorts of euphemisms for it. Fallen asleep, or passed over, or gone beyond. Anything except saying he's dead. It's almost immoral, isn't it, for me to say that. Our world is afraid of death. We pretend it's not going to happen. That's the trouble with this man. He pretends that his life will go on indefinitely. This life is so temporary. Just heard this morning of somebody who was walking in the cars and a tree fell on him and killed him. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Many of us will have had the experience of encouraging our children to prepare for a set of exams. We didn't really think they were doing anything, and we were desperately trying to encourage them to prepare themselves for what was coming. Well, this parable from the lips of Jesus says to everyone, have you made preparations for your finals? Be sure that the day of judgment is coming. You see, you and I are far too important to God for that not to take place. Some people have the idea that it's not going to happen. There will be no judgment. But the only way for judgment to be avoided is for God to suddenly be careless about everything. God loves this world so much. You are so important. I am so important. The world is so important that we will give an account of how we've lived towards one another, how we've lived before Him, how we've treated His world. And the only way for that not to happen is for nothing to matter ever again. And the thought of that is just too horrific. To think that nothing matters, to think that there is no justice, ever. But there is. It's so important to God that you and I will face Him. We will be called to account. So what's the touchstone? What's the only hope? Is Jesus your Lord? Have you been forgiven? Is Jesus your Lord? Are you living as if God is really there? His Son, Jesus, Lord over your life? Have you received the gift of forgiveness that He died to pay for? The slate wiped clean. That's the only hope we have. Just imagine someone ending up in the presence of God. And he says to them, whatever are you doing here? Unforgiven. And the reply comes, I didn't think it really mattered that much. And God says, come off it. What do you think I sent my Son to die for? If it doesn't really matter that much. Or maybe they say, I've lived a fairly decent life. And God's reply, what do you think I let my Son die for? If you could make it on your own. In the light of Jesus dying for us, both the urgency and the importance can't be avoided. Of course it matters that I should be right with God. Of course it matters that I should be living in friendship with God now. Here's a man who everybody thought of as very successful. But God looks at his heart and declares him to be a fool. He lived as if this life is all there is. He lived as if God wasn't there. He lived as if there was no judgment. Maybe there's someone listening this morning. And thankfully, you've been given the chance. You've been given the time. Time this morning to take action. To acknowledge Jesus as your Lord. To ask Him for His forgiveness. And to take over the running of your life. You could make that your prayer this morning. And it would change all eternity. And this parable says to those of us who have done that, don't go back to living as if this life is all there is. Maybe we'll have 70, 80, 90 years. But alongside eternity, that's only the blink of an eye. It is foolish to live as if this life is all there is. Now, God has given us many good things in this world. Maybe a fulfilling career. Perhaps the joys of family life. A nice home, a garden. All sorts of good things. And it's right to enjoy them. Not to despise them or deny them. But then to end up living for them. I love sailing. But I'm not called to live to sail. I'm called to live for Jesus. It's a great mercy that God has put me here in Wilmslow. Just about as far away from the sea as you can get. The things of this world will not last. Even this world itself. They don't live for those things. Rather live for Jesus. Live for the kingdom that He is bringing in. Let's spend our time and money and energy to see others brought into that kingdom, because that's what's going to last for eternity. This man was a fool because he was not rich towards God. You want to be wise? Well, let's be extravagant. Extravagant in our love for God. Extravagant in serving Him and one another with all that He has given us. It won't be wasted. In fact, it is the only thing that will last. That will last for eternity. Let's pray. Oh Lord, please forgive us for those times when we've lived as if this life is all there is. When we've lived as if you were not there. When you have so clearly made yourself known to us. And when you hold out the promise of life eternal through your Son, Jesus Christ. Please help each one of us to see our lives in the light of eternity, and so live for Jesus and His kingdom that is coming. Amen.